Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to have you listening in. We invite you to look with us in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning at verse 1. Begin Jeremiah chapter 33, starting at verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds and the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men whom I will slay in my anger and my fury, all for whose wickedness I have hidden my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it to health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah, the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and we will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I will provide for it." Verses 1 through 9, Jeremiah chapter 33. And then looking briefly in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." Lord, thank you for the privilege, the opportunity you give us daily of being able to come to you in prayer, knowing that you always, 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 always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. What a privilege, what a gift it is, what an honor, what an opportunity it is for us every day to be able to have audience with you as we come before you according to your word in prayer and seek your face, your guidance, your wisdom, but also come before you to give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Lord, thank you for this great privilege, this great opportunity, this great gift that we call prayer. Father, teach us by the tutor of your Holy Spirit more and more to be a people who live lives given to prayer. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so much you stand ready to do for any one of your children that really takes time and the commitment to really take prayer seriously and to give ourselves in prayer. Help us to know, Lord, that you allow us to come to you in prayer any time of the day or night, and you're always listening. Thank you for that privilege and opportunity to have an audience with you, our Heavenly Father, any time of the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Thank you for this wonderful gift. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We appreciate you choosing to be a part of our listening family. And of course, you may recall at different times we share that one of the priority goals of our program, the Hour of Intercession, is to encourage believers to make prayer and intercession a bigger part of their life and their lifestyle. And, you know, on any given day, if you were to randomly select believers and if you were to ask them if they could honestly say about how much time they spent in prayer, you know, the answers would run the gamut. Some people may spend 2 or 3 minutes in prayer a day. Some may spend 5, 6, 8 minutes. Some may spend 10 minutes. Some may spend 20, 30 minutes. Some may spend an hour or more. You know, again, it's not for any one of us to dictate to anyone else how much time we spend. But the reality is the more time we spend with God in prayer, the better off we are and the richer our lives will be. One of the reasons being is because, amongst other things, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. And so when you pray about a matter in your life, amongst other things, what you've done is you've released the Holy Spirit to work in that situation. So, for example, husbands, when you pray for your wife, you release the Holy Spirit to work in your wife's life in a greater way. Wives, when you pray for your husbands, through prayer, you release the Holy Spirit to work greater in his life. Parents, when we pray for our children, when we pray over them and we call out their names in prayer, we're releasing the Holy Spirit to work in their lives in a greater way. So keep in mind, when we take time to pray, we shouldn't see it as a burden, but we should see it for what it is, a great privilege, a great opportunity, a great blessing, a blessed gift God has given to us, the opportunity to pray and to do the work of God and to release the grace of God in a greater way into that person's life, into the matters in the existence of that matter, whatever that concern may be, releasing the Holy Spirit to work to bring about God's work and his will. In Jeremiah chapter 33 that we read just a few moments ago, again, it's a chapter, and of course, if you know the book of Jeremiah, it's a book that chronicles in part the time in which Israel is captured and carried away into exile because of their sin and their disobedience to the Lord. Yet at the same time, there's some powerful truths found in the book of Jeremiah about many different topics in the kingdom of God, but specifically that particular chapter, Jeremiah chapter 33, interesting what it tells us, what it specifically states as it relates to the topic of prayer. Listen again to these words. Again, Jeremiah chapter 33, starting at verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Listen again to what God is saying to us. He's inviting and encouraging us. In fact, he's commanding us to call upon him in prayer. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Amongst other things, God is commanding us to call upon him for wisdom about things we don't know about. And in life, all of us have situations, matters, challenges, or concerns, or storms we run into in which we really need God's wisdom. We need his insight, his direction. Well, when we call upon God in prayer, God is more than able to give us the wisdom we need to help us overcome in any given situation. So we're wise to give ourselves in prayer. So today, as we share from the Word of God, I want you to keep in mind that it's our goal today to look specifically at the topic of turning up the heat on your prayer life. And of course, what I mean by that, of course, is whatever amount of time or whatever your commitment to pray on a daily basis, it's my hope that by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God, you'll be motivated to decide, I'm going to spend more time in prayer. Whether you get up a little bit early in the morning to spend more time in prayer, whether you stay up a little later at night, or whether you just make time in the course of the day, maybe during your lunch hour, maybe in the evening after you come home from school or work, but whatever time, but you decide, I need to spend more time in prayer. Remember, prayer is one of the great gifts and the great weapons God has given us. And how much we use it is in our hands. But by the grace of God, great things are done every day by people that take prayer seriously. So it's important, and I would encourage you to make it your goal to do just that. I want to share with you briefly about a man in history that lived many years ago in the nation of Great Britain in England, a man by the name of George Mueller. And George Mueller was a powerful example of a man who lived his life given to prayer. I want to share with you about his life and listen to the details of the great man George Mueller was. The children are dressed and ready for school, but there's no food for them to eat, the house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. He thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide food for the children, as he always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I will bring it in. Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he and the orphanage could use some of the free milk. George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. But this life of faith that George Mueller lived, trusting God one day at a time to feed hundreds and hundreds of children, was not always the way and the life that he lived. When he was a boy, his life was very different. George Mueller was not always a person of such great faith and good character. As a young boy growing up in Germany in the early 1800s, he often stole money from his dad. As a teenager, he snuck out of his hotel twice without paying for the room. One time he was caught by police and put in jail. As a Bible college student, George loved going to bars, drinking, gambling, and being the life of the party. He also loved making fun of people, especially Christians. One day, a friend invited George to go to an off-campus Bible study. He went only because he wanted to make fun of the Christians later. But to his surprise, he liked the Bible study. For the first time, he saw people who really knew and loved God. He attended each evening. Before the end of the week, he knelt at his bed and asked God to forgive his sins. George's friends saw a change in him immediately. He no longer wanted to go to bars or make fun of people. He spent more time reading his Bible, talking to God, and going to church. Soon he found that his friends didn't want to be around him anymore. George's friends saw a change in him immediately. He no longer wanted to be a person that would be out and just doing things, living a wild lifestyle like he once did. When George told his father that he decided to become a missionary, his father became very upset. He wanted George to have a high-paying job and not to be a poor missionary. He told George that he would not give him any more money for school. George knew he had to do what God was calling him to do, even if his dad didn't support him. An hour after he prayed, the answer came. George went back to college without knowing how he was going to pay for his tuition. He did something he thought was a bit silly for a grown man to do. He got on his knees and asked God to provide. To his surprise, an hour later, a professor knocked on his door. He offered George a paid tutoring job. George was amazed. This was the beginning of George Mueller's dependence on God. This was the beginning of George Mueller's dramatic and powerful life of prayer. After finishing college, George was ready to begin his missionary work in London, England. But there was one problem. Germany required all healthy men to serve at least a year in the army. George wanted to get to his mission as quickly as possible. However, he became very sick. His illness was so serious that he almost died. It almost made him unable to serve in the army. It also did make him unable to serve in the army. He was now free to go to England as a missionary. George became the pastor of a small church in England. The church wanted to pay him a good salary from the money it received renting pews to the rich church members who sat at the front of the church. Poor members had to sit in the cheap seats in the back. George told them that this had to stop if they wanted him to be their pastor. Even so, he did not allow the church to pay him a salary. He trusted God to meet his needs, and God did. George and his family never missed a meal and were always able to pay their rent. George began to sense, however, that God had something else for him to do. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're reading about the life of a man by the name of George Mueller, who was a great man given to prayer. We'll pick up on the other side of the break, sharing more about his life. But again, our goal is to encourage you to recognize the great need for you to live a life given to prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us every day to take prayer seriously and to come to you, to seek you in prayer, to praise you, to thank you for your goodness and grace, but also to seek your wisdom, your guidance, your grace, and your direction, to seek your blessing upon our lives and for you to give us guidance and direction as we move forward to carry out the work you've called us to do. We thank you and praise you for the privilege of walking with you every day in prayer. Teach us to do that faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
I believe one of the greatest needs for this generation is for men to be men.
Pastor, author, musician, Carl King.
Men have lost their initiative and they're spending time in games and pornography, and the culture is vomiting this out and many men are just sucking it up. But I think that the Word of God, and I think that our culture is asking for men to step up and say, okay, I'm going to use that manliness that God has given me. I'm going to be a provider. I'm going to be a help. I'm going to be a protector. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to use and exploit women. By me being self-controlled and self-disciplined, I'm going to change the world.
Advancing truth, wisdom, and empowerment. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Just go ahead and admit it. You're spoiled. I know that I am. We as Christians often forget just how privileged we are. There are benefits that come with being a member. We get to enjoy the many benefits of the gospel that people in other religions never understand. If you ever take the time to talk to people who have been in other religions and are now a part of the body of Christ, chances are they will share with you that the one concept most difficult to grasp was that of God the Father. You are a child of the Most High God. Everything the Father has is yours. You are the rightful heir. If for some reason you never had an earthly father that cared for you, you can take comfort in your heavenly Father showering you with gifts and blessings. The only thing you have to do is learn to receive. It really is okay to be spoiled and know that you're spoiled by the one who created you and prepared a place especially for you. You are royalty. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
I'm about to give you one of the best pieces of advice that I have ever given anyone. Are you listening? Here it is. Don't believe in yourself. Yes, I'm telling you not to believe in yourself, because I understand that what I do is not about me. It's not about who I am. It's not about my name. It's not about my ability. Look, God empowers me to be who I am and to do what I do on my own. I am completely insignificant. But with God, I'm a beast. With Him, I'm a force to be reckoned with. Listen to me. When this principle is in operation in your life, it puts you in a place where you can ascend to levels of success and accomplishment that you never even dreamed about. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so are His ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. Look, when you lean on God and you depend on Him and put your confidence in Him, and when you believe in God, you will ascend to levels of greatness that you never thought possible. Don't believe in yourself. Believe in God.
Listen to Up Together with Courtney Westbrook at 12 noon Central on Urban Family Talk.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Come on.
Keep moving it forward. We found some.
hands in here.
Clap your hands, clap your hands, clap.
Let's take them to the scripture. Listen.
The weapons of our warfare are mighty.
That's it.
Mighty
Ephesians
God.
6 and 12.
We don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities.
Let's take them back to 2 Corinthians.
Mighty God. Clap. Sing it. Teach my hands to walk.
Because praise.
Praise.
Come on.
Praise.
Just wave. Just wave. Just wave.
The music of Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. Today we're looking at the topic of turning up the heat on your prayer life. In other words, increasing the fruitfulness of your prayer life, committing more of yourself to prayer. You know, the Word of God tells us pray without ceasing, and it's important to live a lifestyle where we're learning to pray on an ongoing basis, to make prayer a big part of just the way we function throughout the day. In fact, it's good for us and fruitful for us to see life as a running conversation with the Lord. I was sharing with you the story of George Mueller, and I'm going to pick up there, but I want you to keep this in mind. He's a great example of a believer that really took prayer seriously. Let me back up and pick up a little bit before where we left off. Continue to share about the story of George Mueller, a great man of God who ran several orphanages in the nation of England many years ago. George became the pastor of a small church in England. The church wanted to pay him a good salary from the money it received, renting pews to church members who sat at the front of the church. Poor members had to sit in the cheap seats at the back. George told them that this had to stop if they wanted him to be their pastor. Even so, he did not allow the church to pay him a salary. He trusted God to meet his needs, and God did. George and his family never missed a meal and were always, always able to pay their rent. George began to sense, however, that God had something else for him to do. Each day as George walked the streets, he saw children everywhere who had no mom or dad. They lived on the streets or in state-run poorhouses where they were treated badly so often. George felt God calling him to open an orphanage to take care of the children. George prayed, asking God to provide a building and people to oversee it, furniture and money for food and clothing. God answered his prayers. The needs of the orphanage were met each day. Sometimes a wealthy person would send a large amount of money, or a child would give a small amount received as a gift for doing chores. Many times food, supplies, or money came at the last minute, but God always provided without George Mueller telling anyone about his needs. He just prayed and waited on God. More than 10,000 children lived in the orphanage over the years. When each child became old enough to live on his own, George would pray with him or her and put a Bible in their right hand and a coin in their left hand. He explained to the young person that if he or she held on to what was in his right hand, that is the Bible, God would always make sure that there was something in his left hand as well. It has been more than 165 years since George Mueller took in his first orphan. His vision continues today as Christians around the world are inspired by his faith to depend on God to meet their needs and the needs of helpless children. You can see the story of George Mueller and learn more about it by your own study. But again, his life is a great inspiration and has been for many, many years to believers of all ages and believers throughout the years. Take time to learn more about the great example, the great mentor, and the great role model of the life of George Mueller, a great man of prayer. I want to remind you that all of us are called to live a life given to prayer. And as we do that, again, we'll see God do so, so much more in us. Again, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. In other words, live life where prayer is like an ongoing conversation where you're continuing to talk to your Heavenly Father. So many times in life, we, in our own thinking, we're waiting on God, when in reality, God is waiting on us. Because the fact is, God has already told us in His Word, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Keep in mind, on any given day, God stands ready to do more for any person, man or woman, boy or girl, that will take prayer more seriously and will seek Him in prayer. So let me encourage you to make it your goal to really take prayer seriously, because whatever challenges you're facing right now, today, whatever needs, whatever concerns you're dealing with, you know God is more than able to meet that need. He's more than able to help with that problem. But the key is, we've got to learn to call upon God, to ask Him for His help, His deliverance, for Him to supply the need, and He's more than able to do it. God is El Shaddai, one of His many names, and that name means the God who is more than enough, or God Almighty. He's also Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, God our healer, and God has many other names, all of which has something to teach us about who God is and what He's ready to do to bless us in our lives as we learn to seek Him in prayer. Once again, one of the scriptures we read at the beginning of the program was 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Let me read those again. Again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Again, verses 9 and 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Again, in those two short verses, we have what the Bible tells us about the person Jabez and the prayer that he prayed. And of course, if you're familiar with it, Dr. Bruce Wilkinson wrote a book entitled The Prayer of Jabez. And I would encourage you, if you've never read the book, get a copy of the book and read it, because he does a great job of drawing out some many biblical truths related not just to this particular prayer, but to prayer in general, but this prayer in particular as well. Again, if you get a chance to get a copy of the book entitled The Prayer of Jabez, get the book and read it. But whether you get the book or not, I would encourage you to begin to pray the prayer of Jabez every single day. I want to remind you once again, we have a prayer tool sheet that we share that contains the prayer of Jabez. It alludes to the Lord's Prayer. It contains the prayer of praying the Ten Commandments, praying the prayer that Isaiah prayed in Isaiah chapter 6, and the prayer that Paul prayed right after he got saved as well, and a prayer similar to what Solomon prayed, asking for wisdom. Well, all of these are biblical or biblically based prayers, and they're great prayers, very fruitful prayers to pray, including the prayer of Jabez. I want to encourage you to start praying each of these prayers every single day, and if you pray them faithfully, I guarantee God will start using you more and more mightily in your life. Why? Because remember, when we pray, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. Remember this little saying, when we work, but when we pray, God works. Listen again to that bit of wisdom. When we work, but when we pray, God works. Remember, as we said already, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. And when you pray about a matter, you're releasing the Holy Spirit to work in and upon that matter, that situation. Do you know the Holy Spirit is God? The Holy Spirit can do anything. The Holy Spirit is almighty and He's all powerful. So when we're wise enough to pray about a matter or a concern, then more and more you'll see God's hand as you learn to pray about the matters, the concerns in your life, the people in and around your life. Parents, we must pray more for our children, because the Holy Spirit knows how to work in our kids even when we don't. The Holy Spirit knows how to work in their lives in ways that we cannot. So let's be faithful to pray for our children, to pray for our grandchildren, not only our own children and grandchildren, praying for children maybe in your church family, or praying for children in your neighborhood, in your community, praying for children in your local schools. Why? Because remember, when you pray, remember, don't worry about ever worry about distance being an issue in prayer. When you pray, God can move on the other side of the world in just a moment's time, because in that sense, there's no distance in prayer. So it's important that we be people given to prayer. Well, again, the prayer of Jabez is found, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. I want to encourage you to start praying that prayer every day. Reason being is because it's a wonderful and a very fruitful kingdom prayer, and every day you pray it, God will answer it. Well, let's talk a little bit about the prayer of Jabez and why it's such a fruitful prayer to pray. Well, again, The prayer of Jabez, again, is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And keep in mind, the name Jabez basically means pain. And now the scripture doesn't explain just why, but for whatever reason, his mother named him a name that means pain, which in a sense is kind of like a strike against him, because names mean something. They carry weight in terms of the meaning behind them. Well, maybe she had a hard labor, or maybe she was just going through difficulty or having some storms or several storms going on around the time of his birth. But again, the scripture doesn't say specifically why, but she names him Jabez. Again, it says, saying, because I bore him in pain. Again, the name Jabez means pain. But now, keep in mind, Jabez was wise enough to do this. It says specifically at the beginning of verse 9, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, what does it mean to be more honorable? Well, keep in mind, that's an interesting term as it's used here in Scripture specifically. But honorable means highly respected. For some reason, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Well, keep this in mind. When you live a life given to prayer, it really does set you apart, and it does cause more honor to flow in your life. You know why? Because, again, God will use you more and work through you more and more as you live a life given to prayer. And remember, prayer, as we said, releases the Holy Spirit to work. So the more you pray, the more the Holy Spirit is released through your life and through your prayer life to do the work of God. And so God will bless you in the midst of your being a vessel through which he can pour his grace into the world. So the more you pray, the more God's hand will be on you and working through you as you live a life given to prayer. So apparently, Jabez's prayer life set him apart in an important way to the point where he was considered more honorable than his brothers. Well, again, it says that Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. And look at the four parts of what Jabez prayed for. Notice again the four parts of the prayer of Jabez. Number one, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Number two, and enlarge my territory. Number three, that your hand would be with me. And number four, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Now, to every single listener listening, I want to encourage you, start praying that prayer every day. And let me tell you why. Because remember, it's a kingdom prayer. It's a prayer that prays for four specific things. Number one, you're asking God to bless you and to bless you a lot. The first phrase, Lord, bless me indeed, basically means, Lord, bless me, and bless me a lot while you're at it. But notice also, he doesn't really tell God how to bless him. And when you're praying this way, that's a wise thing to do because, you know, God knows how he most desires to bless and use you today. He knows that better than you and I know it. And so Jabez didn't confine God as to what he wanted, but he left it up to God. But he wanted God just to, when he did use him mightily, use him tremendously. What a wise way to pray. So his first request is, Lord, bless me and bless me a lot. That's a wise way to pray in our lives, to pray this prayer. So again, praying it every day is good. The second part of the prayer is enlarge my territory. In other words, what he's saying is, Lord, increase my influence for you, or bless me with more to do, or more influence, more business, more ministry. Basically, increase my fruitfulness in your hands. Did you know God is looking for people who pray like that because he wants to do more through each one of us? And as we pray a prayer like this, God will answer it. So every day you pray it, God will answer it. Again, expand my territory. The third part, that your hand would be with me. Now, the hand of God represents the Spirit of God. We're coming up on a break again, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk as we talk about turning up the heat on your prayer life. We'll be right back after this break. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession.
What are students saying about Wesley Biblical Seminary? Here's Daphne Armstrong.
I chose WBS because of the biblical teaching that I knew I would receive. My relationship with God has gotten so strong. I'm really, truly depending on him, and it's completely changed my way of thinking.
I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Come and be a part of our community.
Apply today at wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Discover the difference.
coming next week on The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
In order for churches to do what they're supposed to do, they need to be what they're supposed to be. Dr. Tony Evans explains how this principle applies in the area of spiritual warfare as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The church has been delegated spiritual authority by Christ. When Peter describes this, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 of Christians, ye are all living stones, come together to form one spiritual house. In other words, God was going to build a community of believers. He was going to call this community of believers the ecclesia, or the church, the called out ones, who would operate in such a way, with such spiritual power, that even the gates of hell would not be able to stop it. So the only thing that will be able to stop hell is Christ's church. That's not a building. That's not a program. That's a community of believers who cross racial, cultural, and class lines, Ephesians 2 says, that come together in order to reflect the confession of Peter that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. That is what you are a part of. If you're not a part of that, call this building what you wish, but it is not a church. Because if it's a church, it has to be His church.
Learn more about how churches and individuals can win the spiritual battle going on behind the scenes of our lives. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll not only teach you what the Bible has to say about our fight against the devil and his influence, you'll find the real-life help you've been looking for. Visit us at TonyEvans.org for details. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Listening to music from the Planet Shakers, the song simply entitled The Anthem. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of turning up the heat on your prayer life. In other words, making prayer a much bigger part of your life and everything you do. Remember, prayer is the secret weapon of the kingdom of God. Understand this. On any given day, God stands ready to do so much more for you and in your life if you would simply seek him in prayer. And as we're talking at this time about the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, remember, this is a prayer I would encourage every believer listening, every believer everywhere, pray this prayer over your life every single day. And remember, every day you pray it, God will answer it. And God will make you a more fruitful vessel than you were the day before. It's kind of what you would experience is what I like to call compound grace. In other words, he'll make you more fruitful through the same activity than you were the day before. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows how to do it. And because you've asked him, God is glad to do it. Did you know, again, it's a matter of asking. Now, you might think, was it that simple? I mean, isn't there more to it? What's the hitch? God said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. God is simply waiting and listening for askers. God is waiting and listening for askers. Some of his children that will take the time to ask him for his help, for his provision, for his guidance, for his help. And many times the only thing that's keeping you from getting that need met or getting that desire accomplished is that you have not asked for it. In the book of James, it says, you have not because you ask not. Many blessings that God is waiting on you. So many times we're waiting on God, and the fact is we've come to find out God is waiting on us. What is he waiting for? He's waiting us to ask. So remember, God has called us to be a kingdom of askers, people that seek him in prayer every day. And we're a kingdom of children who God is ready and looking forward to and loving to give answers to. But again, he's simply waiting on us to ask. Now, so again, as we look back at the prayer of Jabez, remember the four parts are four, all of which are fruitful to pray every single day. I want to encourage you to start praying the prayer of Jabez every day over yourself. Pray it over your family. Pray it over each one of your children as well. Pray it over your income as well, because remember, it's up to you what you pray it over. But remember this. When you pray, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work, and God knows exactly how to carry out his will. So our job is to ask. It's God's job to respond, because God is always going to keep his word. And so you don't have to worry about whether or not God can answer. God always has the ability to answer, but we need to take care of our part. Our part is to ask. Well, again, the four parts of the prayer of Jabez, the first part is, Lord, bless me indeed. In other words, you're saying, Lord, bless me and bless me a lot. But at the same time, you're leaving up to God exactly how he'll do it. And remember, God knows on any given day where how he most wants to use you and to bless you. So again, that's a wise way to pray as you pray this prayer, Lord. In the first part, Lord, bless me indeed. The second part, expand my territory. In other words, you're asking God to increase your influence for him. In other words, God, give me more to do for your kingdom. Give me more ministry. Give me more influence. Give me more business, whatever it might be. But remember this, God will do it in such a way that it will increase it, but also God will get more glory out of it, whatever it is. Now remember, if you pray and God chooses to give you more glory, give you more through it, he's going to be glorified through that. And you and I should always want to glorify God more and more, to allow more and more of his glory to be seen in the earth. That's a wise thing to do. So hope you'll take time to pray this prayer every single day. The third request in the prayer is that your hand would be with me. In other words, basically, you're asking God, Lord, place your hand anew upon me. Now, keep in mind, a believer, again, we're wise to pray that God will fill us with his Holy Spirit. Well, keep in mind, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit clearly enters your life, but it's wise to pray and ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will use you more mightily, more of the power of God will work in you and through you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so this fourth request is basically asking God to pour out a fresh anointing of his Spirit upon you. Now, we're wise to pray for that every single day. Now, you might say, well, why do we need to pray it over and over again? Well, in a manner of speaking, you might say, spiritually, we leak. We need fresh infillings of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we're wise to pray for a fresh infilling every single day. So to pray, Lord, fill me afresh, fill me anew with your Holy Spirit. That's a wise thing to pray for every single day. So the third request in the prayer of Jabez is, again, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit, or that your hand would be with me. And the last request, and keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Now, you might say that actually sounds very similar to what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, lead us not into temptation. Well, again, why is that true? Well, the fact is, as you become more fruitful in the hands of God, again, it can be expected the enemy will come against you more heavily because you become more of a threat to him. But keep in mind, the same Holy Spirit that makes you a more fruitful vessel can also protect you and keep you from the evil one and keep you out of the reach of the evil one in any given situation. So we're wise to pray that last part as well. Keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. So keep in mind, it's as if Jabez is basically wanting to take the negativity that may have seemed to have come with his name, but become all the more fruitful for God and in the hands of God. And so he prayed that prayer, and notice what the Word of God says too. It clearly indicates, it says, so God granted him what he requested. And keep in mind, just like Jabez got an answer from God, every day you pray this prayer, God will answer it for you as well. Again, pray it over yourself. Pray it over your family. Pray it over each of your children. And you can pray it over things as well, because remember, God can make any object that you put in his hands fruitful as well. Remember in the Old Testament, there were times in which, for example, in the book of Joshua, Joshua was told to take up stones and place them in a particular place as a memorial. Did you know even God can get glory out of a stone if it's dedicated to him? Through prayer, we can dedicate things or objects or items in the hands of God. So through prayer, you can pray over an object as well for God to bless it and for God to get glory out of it as well. So that's why it's wise to pray the prayer of Jabez over your vehicle as well. It probably will last longer than it would otherwise. Pray it over whatever you desire to pray it over, because remember, you're praying for God to bless it, and also you're praying that God will somehow or another be glorified through that thing or that matter or that person. So we're wise to pray it every day over ourselves, over our family. Pray it over your job. Pray it over, again, each of your children. Pray it over your children's school as well. Use the prayer like a tool, because that's what it is. It's a prayer tool. Pray it every single day. Along with praying the prayer of Jabez, I want to encourage every parent, pray this also. Pray the Lord's Prayer daily, and also teach and train and guide your children to pray the Lord's Prayer daily as well. Now, keep in mind, to pray the prayer of Jabez, it takes all of maybe 30 seconds, if that long. Well, to pray the Lord's Prayer may take you about a minute, but keep in mind, that's not much time at all. But remember, when you pray, it makes you a much more fruitful vessel in the hands of God, because again, remember, amongst other things, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. So praying the Lord's Prayer every day is a wise thing to do. Let's take a moment to pray it even now. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Again, praying the Lord's Prayer takes all of maybe 60 seconds. Parents, it's a very wise prayer, and of course, it's the prayer the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, and not only his 12 disciples, he taught all of us to pray that prayer as well. Why not pray it every day? Again, can you take 60 seconds out of your day to pray it? Remember, if Jesus taught us to pray it, apparently it's a very fruitful and a very strategic prayer to pray every single day. I want to encourage you to do that, and again, parents, please take time to teach and train your children to pray that prayer every single day. As you do, again, it will pay off. It will bless you and bless your children greatly as well. And remember, parents, teaching and training your children to pray is so valuable. Why is that true? Because remember, prayer is one of the greatest skills in life, spiritual skills, that we and our children can learn to put to use in life. Remember, many times in our lives, our children will be well out of our reach, but they're never out of the reach of God. Through prayer, it's like through prayer we can extend the hand of God to touch their lives in an even greater way. So parents, remember, all our life, part of our job as parents is to pray for our children. We're to pray for our children before they get here. We're to pray for them when they're in the womb. We're to pray for them when they're born. We're to pray for them when they're toddlers. We need to pray for them, obviously, when they start school, when they're in elementary school, middle school, definitely in high school. And you pray for them when they're in college. And even when they've graduated from college, if you want to know, is your job over? Not at all. You're just getting started. You're to pray for your children all their life long. You want to know when your job is over? When one of you goes to heaven, that's when that part of your job comes to an end. So it's important that you always, always, always pray for your children, parents. Remember, pray for your children and grandparents. If you have grandchildren, you're supposed to pray for all your grandchildren. We should pray for them every single day. Now, for those grandparents that have so many grandkids, they lost track, get yourself a notebook because you need to pray for every one of them every single day. They need your prayers. Be sure and take it upon yourself to do just that. And as we close our time, I want to remind you once again, I like to talk about the prayer life, the wonderful prayer life and the example of Dr. George Washington Carver. He was a great man of prayer. Obviously, he was a great man of science and a great man of agriculture as well. He was a professor at Tuskegee Institute, but also, and one of the greatest things about his life, he was a great man of prayer. He was a well-known scientist who was born as a slave, and he was credited with saving the agriculture of the South. But he's an example of a great example of a believer who listened and communed with God in prayer on a daily basis. He's a great example of a believer who followed and applied wisdom in the area of prayer in his life. He would get up early every morning, and he'd sit before the Lord, and he called God Mr. Creator. And there with the Lord, Dr. Carver learned secrets that bless the whole world. There's a book entitled The Man Who Talks with the Flowers by Glenn Park. Dr. Carver once made this statement. He said, "There's literally nothing that I ever wanted to do that I asked the blessed Creator to help me to do that I've not been able to accomplish. It's all very simple if one knows how to talk with the Creator. It is simply seeking the Lord and finding Him. All my life I've risen regularly at 4 o'clock and have gone into the woods and talked with God. There He gives me my orders for the day. When people are still asleep, I hear God best and learn my plan. After my morning's talk with God, I go into my laboratory and begin to carry out His wishes for the day." Make it your goal to saturate your life and your family's life and the concerns of your life with prayer. Be a person given to prayer. Lord, thank You for the opportunity that we can live a life much like George Mueller, like Dr. George Washington Carver, and Father, other believers who have been great prayer warriors. And of course, the greatest example is the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lived a life given to prayer. Lord, fill us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us. Flood our lives with the spirit of prayer. Guide us so that daily we'll learn to seek You in prayer for not only our own lives, but also for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren. Help us to pray faithfully for our jobs. Help us to pray much for our nation, for our leaders, for our government, for the world. Guide us so that more and more we will be a people living a life given to prayer. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession today as we've looked at the topic of turning up the heat on your prayer life. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you listening. That email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get any of the outlines of what we talked about today, thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.